Okay, this is from the Ur Gedal Yahu in Parsha Shoftim and Chodesh Elul. And he touches on some things related to this past week's Parsha, what we read this past Shabbos. And of course, it's all in the context of Chodesh Elul, because the Parshios you read at any time of the year is always connected to the time of the year. So one who has eyes to see is always looking for connections between what we read in the Parsha and what's happening in the Seder of the Shana. So he starts by quoting a rather well-known Shla Kadosh. The truth is, many other tzaddikim have this insight as well, but the Shla explains in Os Aleph, hope everyone sees where we are on the page, Kasav HaShla Kadosh, the Holy Shla explained, Shoftim v'shotrim titen l'cha b'chol sha'arecha. You should have judges and officers over all of your gates. Shemavur b'sefer yetzira, d'hanikavim shava'adam nikra'im sha'arim. The openings, right? Nekavim, nekavim, chalulim, chalulim. The nekavim of a person, the openings of a person are called gates. In other words, your eyes are gates, and your ears are gates, and your mouth is a gate, and your nostrils are gates. The Sfarim talk about the seven gates of the face. Two eyes, two ears, a mouth, and the two openings of the nose. So shoftim v'shoftim titen lecha, emphasis on the word lecha, right? Not only are Klal Yisrael assigned with Shoftim v'Shotrim, but Titen Lecha, every person has to what? Has to judge his Sha'arim, has to judge his gates. What are my eyes seeing? What are my ears hearing? Even the things that I smell, certainly the things that I say or that I eat. I have to be mindful over the Sha'arei HaGuf, specifically the Sha'arei HaRosh. V'zeo Sha'amar HaKasav She'yishvo Ta'adam Es Atzmo. And that's what the Pasuk is saying. Titen Lecha, guard yourself. Right. Be a shofit over yourself. Yashkiach tamid shalotia shum avera be'echad min hamakomos. To make sure that my eyes are holy. To make sure that my ears are holy. Cleanse your ears with the sound of the shofar. Right. Cleanse your eyes with maybe the couple of tears we could squeeze out over the course of the Yom Noram. Hainu sheyishvot beseichel. First and foremost, of course, right, your brain. It's important to be, as people say, open-minded. Right? But if your mind is too open, you have to be careful of what crosses through that gate, through that gateway. Sheyishpot haseichel, shehamoach shalit al lev. To make sure that your mind is able to control your heart, and not the other way around. Let's talk out a Tosfos. If you have your Gemara Avodah Zarah, you can look at it inside right now. Might as well say it now. What are we saving it for, you know? Maybe we can save it for when we get there. But there's a geschmack little Tosfos. The Gemara here in Avodah Zarah, on Daf Dalid, and it's also a Tosfos in Mesechas Brachos on Daf Zayin. The Gemara has a discussion about the moment that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gets angry every day. Ki rega ba'apo chayim birtzono. Ki rega ba'apo, Hashem has af, anger, for a rega. How long is a rega? The Gemara says, rega kameimre, a rega is like it sounds. Right? The amount of time it takes to say the word rega. That's how long a rega is. Rega. Dalet Amud Beis, the second Tosfos from the top. So the Gemara says that Bilam, when he wanted to curse the Jewish people, intended to exploit the rega. In other words, he was going to curse Bnei Yisrael by finding that opening when God gets angry at the Jewish people, and Bilam was going to enter through that gate to curse Klal Yisrael. Nilchever, what's the question? What's Tosfos' question? How long is a rega? I just told you, rega, kememre, a split second, rega. It's the amount of time it takes, kememre, to say the word rega. Not very long. You read Parshas Balak, no? Bilam's a big darshan, no? Bilam's the Rebbe, like, doesn't stop speaking, you know? Like, the guys are squirming in their chairs, they're looking at their watch, it's almost, you know, it's time for lunch, and the Rebbe's, you know, is just clueless. So Bilam gives these long drushes. So how could it be that Bilam was going to curse Klal Yisrael in a split second? So Tosfos has two answers to this question. Take a look at Tosfos for a second. You have your Gemara with you. Just take a look. Dalet Amud Beis, the second to top Tosfos. V'im tomar mahay yachol lomar b'shamu etes kezos. What Bilam say? Again, you read Parshas Balak, Bilam has long drushos. So Tosfos' question is, what was Bilam able to say b'shamu etes kezos in this split second? Ishlomar, Tosfos has an answer here. Hayomer, he would say one word. Bilam's intention was to say one word in a split second, which could have finished off the Jewish people. Now, you'll say, so why didn't he say that word? Why did he give these long speeches? Okay. Yesh lomer haya omer kalem. Chof lamid mem. He was going to say one word. Kalem, which means destroy them. Destroy them. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu hafcho v'amar melech. But like the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned Bilam's klalos into brachos. He flipped it around. Bilam wanted to say kalem. Hashem turned it around and turned it into a melech, as the Pasuk says, Utruas melech bo. Truas is a lashon of reyus, a lashon of friendship. The bond that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not only our king, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also our friend. As we'll see. Okay, now there is another answer. There's another answer. Take a look. Tosfos says, Rabbi Eliyahu haya mafarish she'ein tzarach rak lahaschil kolaso ba'oso rega. The other answer, which makes a lot of sense to us, perhaps, is that what? That he only needed to begin the curse in that moment, and once you start speaking, you're allowed to finish the drasha. Now, what halachic implication might that have? We'll talk about it. Maybe we'll have a shir on it when we get to Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Let's say a person realizes, I didn't have a mincha. And it's 1 minute until what? Until Shkia. So am I supposed to fly through Shemona Esrei? That's not a very good idea. Right? So maybe it's too late. I'm not going to get a whole Shemona Esrei. Or maybe what? As long as I start davening within the Zman Tefillah, then I'm allowed to what? Continue davening. As long as I started in the proper time, I'm allowed to continue. Bilam was able to start the Klala, to start cursing us and continue the curse as long as he wants, once he entered through the gate. Right? So then maybe the same thing is true when it comes to Dvarim Shabbat Kedusha. Okay, we'll talk about that halach l'maisa when we get to Daf Dalet Amud Beis. But what does it say here? It says that what? It says that Bilam wanted to say one word, Kalem, and Hashem turned it into Melech. We once had a whole shir on this, but I'll say it over Bekitzer just now, because it's Nogei, it's what we're learning in the Or Gedaliah. What is Kalem and what is Melech? Nadav, you know? That what? Ah, good, right. It's like, right, we have to, very good. We spoke about rearranging the osios on Thursday, right? How we turn nega into oneg, how we turn karis into keser, how we turn machla into chemla, good. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu took kalem and turned it into melech, good. What is kalem and what is melech? So the Svarim Kedoshim explain an amazing idea. The three lower parts of my soul are called nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Okay, there's really five parts of the soul. Let's talk about the lower three that reside within the body. There's two that sort of surround the body, and there's two that reside within the body. Nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Mayrei v'rabayisai, where is your nefesh found? Point to your nefesh. Where is your ruach found, and where is your neshama found? I'll say, what do you mean? Rabbi, I learned Gemara and Brachos and Daf Yud. It says the neshama fills the whole body. Just like Hashem fills the world. Okay, true. But if we have to pinpoint, where is your nefesh, where is your ruach, where is your neshama? We could say any of them. Which one? And bring a proof.
Well, then can I guess the puzzle?
No, don't solve the puzzle yet. Don't solve the puzzle yet. Can't win that. You can't win too quickly. We have to, you know?
Nefesh,
ruach, and neshama. Okay, so I'll tell you. Right, your nefesh is in your liver. The kaved. It's called the kaved in Hebrew. Why is your nefesh in your liver? The liver is very bloody. It's a very bloody part of the body. Right, when a person kashers a liver, you have to make sure you get the blood out. Many halachos about that. Kashering an animal's liver. Those who like to eat real liver. And we know the Torah says, Ki hadam hu hanefesh. Adam hua nefesh. So the nefesh is found in a bloody part of the body known as the liver, the kaved. Where is your ruach found? Lev tahor barali. No? The ruach nachon chadesh bikirbi. So where is your ruach? Lev. Your ruach is in your heart. And the dimension of soul called neshama is where? Well, if you said the paragraph before putting on your tefillin in the morning, which maybe you sometimes do or sometimes don't, right? It says that what? As I strap the tefillin shel rosh to my head, ha-neshama sheh b'mochi, the neshama in my mind, along with the rest of my body, should be subservient to the creator of the world. Okay? So you have the nefesh is in the kaved, the ruach is in the lev, and the neshama is in the malach. Rabosai, a Jew has to be what? A ben melech. It's a Mishnah Maseches Shabbos that all Jews are what? Are b'nei malachim. We're princes. If Hashem is the king of all kings, melech malchei melachim makadosh baruch hu, and we are his children, right? 2 weeks ago in the parasha, banam atem l'Hashem elokeichem. So that means by definition, if he's the greatest king, that means we're the greatest princes. Every Jew has to be a ben melech. There's even a nusach in the Gemara that every Jew has to be a melech. Has to be a melech. What does it mean to be a melech? Okay, Dov, solve the puzzle. What does it mean to be a melech? What do you want to say?
No, to have the proper order.
Look at melech. Melech is Rashi Tevos what? Moach, Lev, Kaved. What did Bilam want to say? Kaved, Kalim. Kaved, Lev, Moach. What's the difference if you're a melech? And what happens when a person, God forbid, works from the bottom up? Kalim, it's destruction. A Jew has to be in control. And being in control, what the Or Gedaliah tells us, means, what he just told us, that the moach should be sholit al halev. That the mind, the rational mind, should control the emotional heart. You hear? What does it mean if a Jew operates from the bottom up, from the kaved, from the bloody kaved, to the heart, to the mind? You know what that means? It means that his body wants something. And that it flares the emotions of the heart. And then he rationalizes it. He convinces himself why it's mutter to do it, even though it's so obvious that it's not what Hashem wants. A melech does what? A Jew is in control, operates what? Top down. His mind says, hold on, let me think clearly. What does Hashem want? Let me have an honest moment of cheshbon and nefesh. Shovtim v'shotrim titin lecha b'chol sharecha. Is my mind, let me ask my mind. Right, what should I do? And once I know what I need to do, now I can try to arouse the heart to do it with hislavos, do it with passion. Right? And then I channel it outward to the liver, in other words, to the bloodstream that it permeates my entire being. So do I want to be a melech? Or do I want to what? Or to just follow my inner urges, and that's kalim. Okay? So now let's come back to the Or Gedaliah. Yeah. Interesting. Okay? There's a lot more to talk about here. This, by the way, we had a whole shiur one time. This is what the Medrash says. The Medrash says on the Pasuk, Kaved Lev Paro, which simply means what? Kaved Lev Paro. Paro's heart was kaved, was heavy, was hardened. But the Medrash says that Hashem turned Paro's Lev into a kaved. Right? Paro was struggling with the relationship between kaved and Lev. Paro thinks he's Hamelech. But really, what? Paro is not a melech. Hashem is a melech. Klal Yisrael are b'nei melechim. Paro is just instinctual. He just follows whatever he's feeling. And again, when it's coming from an unrefined body, it's usually bad choices. Okay, so let's go back to the word Gedaliah. We're about 8 lines in. So he says again, the goal is that what a person should be shofet his seichel, sheyeh moach shalit al halev, that a person's mind should control his heart. If yesh lefarish shotrim. Sha'af kishain lo yishav adas. So what's shoftim v'shotrim? This is very strong. Listen to this, Chav. It's very important. And you'll see it connects mamash to the Gemara we were learning last week. Shoftim v'shotrim. What's a shofet? A shofet's a judge. A judge means what? Make good choices. Shofet. Control your mind. Right? Do the right thing. What are shotrim? Officers. More like a police officer. Right? A police officer is the one who gets involved in your life when what? When you've made some bad choices, right? Works when a person is already making a bad choice. Yesh lafarish shotrim sha'af kishein lo yishav adas. Right? The police officer, the one in charge of you. When a person lacks yishav adas, when he doesn't have the clarity of his mind. Sheyich pe'atzmo la'asos mash tzarech la'asos. That he should be able to force him to do what he's supposed to do. The police officer, what? Will arrest you and put you in handcuffs and stop you from doing the wrong thing if you can't control yourself. Shoftim v'shotrim. V'shtei b'chinos eilu hayu b'matan Torah. It says of Gedaliah Shur, both of these aspects were present at Kabbalah HaTorah. Remember the question we raised on Thursday? What was Tosfos' question, the Gemara in Shabbos, I told you? On Kaf Aleihem Harka Yigas? What was Tosfos' question? Why did Hashem have to put a mountain over our head? If we already said what? No? Nasa v'nishma. We already said Nasa v'nishma. We said we want the Torah, so why are you forcing us into it? If we're shoftim, what do we need shochim for? What do we need you to bully us? What do we need a police officer? We know how to make the right choice. It says Rav Gedalia Shor, because let's be honest. And I told you this is sort of what the Baal Shem Tov says. Let's be honest. There are going to be days in your life where you're not able to make the right choice. You need to be a shoter. Sometimes you could be a shofet. Sometimes you could just say to yourself, I know what I need to do, and you do it. But sometimes you almost need to what? You need to force yourself, as if an officer is dragging you to where you belong, right? To force yourself to do the right thing. So says Rav Gedalia Shor, both of these aspects were present at Kabbalah Satorah. She'amru nasa v'nishma. On the one hand, they said nasa v'nishma, three lines from the bottom. She'shaftu b'sichlam, she'chein nachon l'kabel Torah u'mitzvos. Part of them understood so clearly that the whole reason we left Mitzrayim was, of course, to what? Was to accept the Torah. Nasa v'nishma. Right? They didn't say, oh my gosh, we're slaves again. We were slaves to power. Now we're slaves to Hashem. No, they didn't say that. They said, of course. We trained in Mitzrayim to be able to prepare ourselves for this moment. The whole tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to come to Kabbalah Satorah and to want it. That's why the Tzaddikim pointed out that the gematria of Yetzias Mitzrayim is exactly the gematria of Nasa v'nishma. I think it's 891. Because the whole point of Yetzias Mitzrayim is what? Is exactly Nasa v'nishma. We trained in Mitzrayim to get the Torah. But let's be honest, we're still human beings. And as human beings, there's days where we struggle. V'gam kofa aleim har kagigis. So Hashem put a mountain over our head, chaver, why? Because sometimes I can be a shofet, sometimes I need a shoter. Sometimes I need a little push. Sha'torah nitna bal karcham. Some days I can't wait to go to shir, and some days I have to come to shir because I have to come to shir. It's my obligation, it's my job. I'm forced to. I don't want to, but I have to, because I'm a Jew, and this is my achrayus. Sha'af kishelo yasigu es hani'imus shabat Torah, top of the left column. That even when we don't experience the sweetness of Torah, which again, halavai should always be. Mikol makom nitna b'kfiya. But a Jew has to do what's right because it's right. Kfiya means what? Through force. The same way that what? I mentioned the other week, the famous Rambam in the laws of divorce, Hilchos Gerushin. A husband who refuses to give his wife a get, we beat him up until he does the right thing. Because deep down inside, every Jew wants to do the right thing. Sometimes we choose it. Sometimes we need to force ourselves to do it. Shekein sarach lios tamid b'chol esu v'chol matzav. But the bottom line is, I have to be consistent. I have to be someone who always does what's right because it's right. Sometimes I want it. Sometimes I do it because I just have to do it, because I'm a responsible human being. And I'm a Jew who understands the responsibility of Torah and mitzvos. Again, halavai should always be sweet. The harev na, like we say in Birchas HaTorah, should be sweet. But it's not always so sweet. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes Torah can be hard. So I need to push myself in all situations to continue to do what's right because it's right. He says, right after the brackets, the parentheses, V'yesh lomar shezoi ha'kavana b'masha omer b'chodesh elo. So I told you. These pieces connect Parsha Shoftim to Chodesh Elul. Where do we say this every single day? In Chodesh Elul, right, as we're getting ourselves ready for a new year, part of us is so excited about a new year, part of us feels, even if I'm not excited, I have to do better in Tav Shin Pei. I have to make the next year, Haba Aleinu L'Tova, better than Tav Shin Ayin Tes. So how do we daven over this every day? In L'David. Look what he says, beautiful insight. Says Rav Gedalia Shor, in Chodesh El we say L'David. And what do we say in L'David? Shivti b'veis Hashem kol yamei chayai. I have to sit in Shir. I have to come to the Beis Medrash. I have to learn Torah every day of my life. But today's a really busy day. Today I have a big test. Today I'm not in the mood. Today I have a headache. Today, Shift, David Melech said, Shivti b'veis Hashem kol yamei chayai. I can't miss a day. A Jew can't miss a day. You can't miss a day. You have to see it as kihem chayinu varachamin. I can't live without it. Even if it's really inconvenient, Torah doesn't work today. It has to work. You have to find a way to make it work. Shivayis Hashem kol yamei chayai. David was saying, Hainu, shedavar amelech bish me'es Hashem. Shebechol matzav shiyeh bo. Whatever situation I'm in. David fought wars. David was busy collecting taxes, burning the people. David was taking achrayis for a lot of things. As the Gemara in Brachos references on Daf Dalet, we'll actually get to it in a page from now. David Melech was a very, very busy person. David Melech still said, Hashem, you got to make sure. He's really talking to his own soul. Got to make sure that every day I don't get too busy with other important things that I'm not in the Beis Hashem, that I'm not sitting in the Beis Medrash. David Melech said, no matter what the matzav is, David Melech was fleeing for his life from his own child who was trying to murder him. Bein kishahaya urlo, whether the light of Hashem is shining upon me. Ubein b'matzav she'ein ha'or meyer kol kach. And even in times that are less illuminated, she'ashivto b'beis Hashem b'chol es. Kol yemei chayai. David says, I have to stay connected to Torah. Hopefully more often than not you'll choose it, but sometimes you got to just force yourself to do it. Va'oz kuli haivu ulai, and a person who has that attitude, halavai, it should be, you're zocha to the end of the pasuk. What's the end of the pasuk? If you make a commitment, chaver, listen to this. If you make a commitment to work hard in Torah, even when it hurts, then the promise of Hashem, the reward for that will be what? Is lachzos b'noam Hashem ulevaker behechala. If you say, I'm going to be the type of Jew, no matter what, I make a commitment to myself, to the Jewish people, to my Creator, shifti b'beis Hashem kol yimei chayai, then your reward is lachzos b'noam Hashem. You come to experience what? You're able to see the noam Hashem, the pleasantness of a life of Torah and mitzvos. And od yoser levaker behechala. What does that mean? What's he hinting to? Levaker behechala, the Svarim say, that shifti is a lashon of like permanence. Bikur, like bikur cholim, means to visit. So the hope is that what? That when I have an unusual experience, it's usually more exciting than my regular experiences, right? People like to have different experiences in life. I like to break my routine. It's just more exciting because it's just a change from what I'm used to all the time. So David HaMelech says, right, halavai it should be that when I come to the Beis Midrash, it should always be what? Levaker behechalo. It should be like the first day of the Zman. It can't last that way. No one lives like that. But when a person makes a commitment that I'm going to come to the Beis Medrash every day, eventually you become the type of person where every time you come to the Beis Medrash, it's exciting. It's always like a fun new experience. It's a bikur. It's a new vacation spot. What do you mean? You sat in the same seat. Rav Yashav Zatzal sat in the same seat for hours and hours and hours and hours for decades and decades and decades and decades. And he did it with great, great excitement. I read a story once of a big Rav who was, I don't remember who it was, a big Rav who was, he used to sit and learn for hours and hours, same seat, same spot, every day, mamish, the same routine, you know. So as Rabbitson was a little nervous, the Talmidim felt, the Rabbi needs to, change it up a little bit, you know. Everyone needs a little Bein HaZmanim, no? Everyone needs a little vacation. So they begged the Rabbi, the Rabbitson begged the Rabbi, and the Talmidim said, no, Rabbi, you need to relax a little once in a while, you know. You need to take a little break, you need to change it up a little bit. So he said, okay, fine. They pushed him. Finally, he agreed. He said, okay, I'll change it up. He comes into the Beis Medrash the next day, and he moves over one seat. He sat one seat over. Ah, a machaya, vacation, you know? Bein HaZmanim. Okay, it's a madriga. It's obviously a very high madriga. But shifti b'beis Hashem, kol yimei chayai, if I make a commitment to come to the Beis Medrash every day, eventually, David says, lachzos b'noam Hashem, it becomes pleasurable, it becomes sweet, in accordance with the effort will be the enjoyment. Rav Avram Shor, actually, the son of Rav Gedalia Shor, Rav Avram Shor Shlita, you should go visit him. You should go to Brooklyn, you should go visit Rav Avram Shor, you should say, Rebbe, in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, we're learning the Or Gedaliah with the Kviyas, and your father must be so happy, and you must be so happy. The children were the ones who were Masadar the Sefer, they put together the Sefer. So Rav Avram Shor writes in one of his Svarim, Halakach Valibov, he says that the gematria of the word amelus, which means, working hard in Torah, is gematria matok, sweet. Because in accordance with your amelus will be your sweetness in Torah. In accordance with your commitment of shoftim vishotrim, of nasa v'nishma and kafaleim harkagigas, that's how you squeeze out the sweetness of Torah. But if you're going to be the type of Jew who says, nah, I only show up when I'm in the mood. So you know what's going to happen? You're going to become less and less in the mood until Torah becomes totally burdensome to you. And you never do it, and it loses you lose your interest in it completely. When you commit yourself to push through those hard times, you come to the pleasure and the sweetness of Torah, the aura of Torah. Push through the dark. You come to the light of Torah. Yeah.
Two things. I think this works really well with one of the things that God Let's hear.
About like when you see something wrong with yourself, are you supposed to leave through? Sorry, how to prevent yourself from doing a chet is first you have to like have a conversation with the Yitzhara.
Mm-hmm.
And have, like it goes through all these steps.
Right.
So I think like the first step of talking is very similar to show fit yourself, and then everything else of that could be like a show there. Like,
interesting.
Like, just like stop
okay.
yourself. And I also had a question. The pasuk from the David.
Yeah.
How come we're assuming that Beit Hashem is a Beit Midrash and not just like acting in a way?
It is. I mean, all the Hasidic Sfarim say that David was really asking, knowing that realistically I'm not going to always be in the Beit Hashem, but I want to turn the whole world into a Beit Hashem. Right?
So
turn the whole world into my Beit Midrash.
Does that then mean like...
But that meant that David Melech didn't want to have any experience which was a deviation from being in the presence of Hashem, contemplating Torah ideas, applying them to real life scenarios. That's correct.
Using Torah in your life.
That's correct. Never having a break. That every move that I make in my life should be governed and guided by Torah. Absolutely. Okay, let's go to the top of the next page. Turn over to side two. Oz Beis. Okay, a new piece, another idea. Another pasuk from this past week's parsha: Ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh. Okay, ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh. The pasuk says, when you go out to war and you lay siege on your enemies. So it says, have rachmanis on the trees, ki adam eitz hasadeh. Now the pasuk pshat in the pasuk, of course, is rhetorical. Is a tree a person? What's the answer? No, a tree is not a person. You guys aren't sure about that? Everyone's thinking about it? What's the problem? Ki adam eitz hasadeh, right? Is a person a tree? Is a tree a person? In other words, the enemy soldier who's shooting bullets at your face, you should try to get him first before he gets you. But the trees, why are you chopping down trees? Leave the trees alone. Fruit trees, why are you wasting the fruit trees? This is the source for Baal Tashas. Don't destroy something for no reason. Ki adam eitz hasadeh. But of course, we also read it in the Sifrei Drush and Chasidus, we read it as a statement. Ki adam eitz hasadeh. The man, in some ways, is like a tree. How is man like a tree? How is a person like a tree? So let's see. Besvar makadoshim hekishu es adam le'etz asada. Ba'ofanim shonim. In the Svar makadoshim, in the holy works, hekishu. What does hekishu mean? A hekish. They make a link. Right? There's a link between a person and a tree. Ba'ofanim shonim. In several ways. Ayin b'gemara tanis dav zayin amar aleph. Mashadarshu ala adam. Look in the gemara tree. Right? The gemara says there that if a person is authentic, then you should learn from them. If a person is a phony and they're trying to teach you Torah, then you should chop them down like a tree. Okay, person's like a tree. V'yesh lomar, says Rav Gedalia Shor, I'll tell you what I think it means. Let's talk about a tree versus a person who grows grain. A person who plants stalks of wheat versus a tree. What's the difference between tvua and an eitz? V'yesh lomar da'kavanahi. Dichiluk eitz hasadeh mitvuas hasadeh. What's the difference between a tree in a field and grain growing in a field? This is a beautiful yisod. Listen to this. Debitvua tzrichim lizroa es hasadeh mechadash b'chol shana. There are certain grains, there are certain vegetables, there are certain plants that you have to replant them every single year. They're not going to grow on their own from one year to the next. If you want to have this produce again, you need to plant it again. Masha enkin be'ilam. But the tree has an ability to go through a season where it looks like it's dead. You would think that it's finished, and all of a sudden, the leaves come back, and the buds start to blossom, and before you know it, the tree is laden with apples once again. Masha enkin be'ilam she'omid hu mishana l'shana v'oseperos. There's a continuity to the tree. It's not always starting from scratch. Kazehu tafkid adam ki adam eitz hasadeh. What does it mean? A person's like a tree. A person has to learn from his past choices, successes, and failures, and build on them. It's chaval when a person feels he has to. When Rabbi Nachman started over many times a day, like he writes, I would start from scratch many times a day. He wasn't actually starting from scratch. Right? He was injecting his chachas into his avoda. But there should be some type of continuity, some growth over the course of a lifetime, right? That I'm building on last year's experiences. I'm not planting anew. I'm not starting from nothing. That would be very chaval. The tafkid of a person is shi'avod al atzmo. A person should develop himself, should nurture himself. Have you ever heard or studied Rav Dessler's piece of the Michta Me'eliyahu about the Nekudas HaBechira? Nekudas HaBechira means the point where I'm still making choices and things that are out of my Bechira, out of my ability to choose. Of course, you could always choose. Man has free will, right? But I would hope for everyone in this room, I would hope that being Mechal Shabbos is not within your Nekudas HaBechira. You're not struggling every week, right? It's very hard to not turn on this light on Shabbos. It's very hard for me not to cook on Shabbos. Right? I hope that you've moved past that. That's not a struggle for you anymore. If it ever was a struggle. That was never a struggle in my life. It's not a tie. I don't have a tie. I don't walk past McDonald's and say, I need to get a cheeseburger. I'm struggling with it. Some days I give in. Some days I don't. It's not one of the things I'm working on. There's other areas which you might still be grappling with. Right? A person struggling, Shmira Seinayim, Shmira Salashon, not speaking Lashon Hara, guarding his eyes, pushing myself to get to Minyan. For some people, it's still a struggle. For other people, what do you mean? I go to Minyan every day. I don't have to think about it. Right? There are also things that are way beyond me, which I'm not struggling with because I'm just not even up to them yet. Right? So different people have a different Nekudas HaBechira. The goal is to get certain things into a place where it's automatic, that it grows back from one year to the next. I don't have to plant it. I don't have to develop it anew every year. Again, let's look at the words. Sheyavod al atzmo, develop yourself, work on yourself. Ad sheyavo kochosav lidei giloi mamela. That your strengths, that your abilities, that your talents reveal themselves, giloi, that they reveal themselves. Mamela means what? Automatically. Without so much effort. Obviously, you're going to want to build upon that, right? So if I go to Minyan every day, I want to daven better. But there's certain things that hopefully become automatic. Not that I become mindless robot, God forbid. That's obviously not what he's saying. But that I develop myself in such a way that I can really see growth from one year to the next. Sheba'emes kol adam yeshlo kochos gedolim tmunim bekirbo. Because every Jew has unbelievable kochos inside of himself. Tmunim means concealed, hidden. Every person has tremendous strength, tremendous potential hidden inside of himself. V'tafkid ha'odam hu, shelo yitzarech b'chol pam upam, lachrosh kadei limso es kochosov. The goal is that it shouldn't be that every single time I need lachrosh. What's choresh? To plow. I shouldn't have to start plowing once again and planting once again. Right? Just to get things going again. Chaval. I should have a certain things, you know, built into my routine already as I grow and I mature. And if I don't, if I'm still struggling with certain things that I should have moved past by now, that's a serious problem. I'll tell you a beautiful vart that I heard from my Rebbe and my friend Rabbi Judah Michelle, who shared it b'shem another Rav that he heard. The pasuk says, and we invoke this pasuk many times over the course of the, you know, davening of Yom Noram and Slichos. Im yihiyu chata'eichem kashonim kesheleg yalbinu. This is one of the most important insights I heard in the last year, I would say. Im yihiyu, I'll say the pasuk again. The Navi says, Im yihiyu chata'eichem kashonim. If it'll be chata'eichem, your sins are kashonim. Shonim means crimson wool, right? So if you're red, if you're stained with sins, im yihiyu chata'eichem kashonim. Hashem says to us, Kesheleg yalbinu, like snow, yalbinu, I will whiten it. Okay, if you're stained red with sin, Hashem says, I'll give you the opportunity to cleanse yourself. Im yiyu chateichem kashonim, Kesheleg yalbinu, I'll whiten it like snow. So Rav Judah told me this var, an amazing var. There are averos, and I'm saying this very carefully, and I hope you're understanding it very carefully. There are averos that are, how should we say, age-appropriate. There's age-appropriate averos. There's normal things, right, that teenagers struggle with, that young adults struggle with, that older people struggle with, that little kids struggle with. There's age-appropriate averos. In other words, there's things where a person sometimes gets very down on himself and says, this is so hard for me, and I feel like I'm the only one who's struggling with this. And then you find out, what do you mean? A lot of people struggle with that thing. That doesn't make it mutter, whatever that thing may be. It just means there's a time and a place. It's normal. You're not the only one in history to struggle with certain taivas or certain nisyonos at certain stages of life. And we call it an age-appropriate avera. Then there's also averos that are not age-appropriate. You're not a baby anymore. You should move past that. Right? You should grow up already, spiritually grow up. So says the pasuk, Im yu chateichem kashonim. If your averos are kashonim, in accordance with your years. If you have age-appropriate averos, kashel yalbinu. Hashem says, then I can work with you. I can whiten it like snow. Right? You're chopping it? You hear the vart? Im yu chateichem kashonim. If your averos are in accordance with your years. Meaning, if Hashem says to you, I understand that you struggle with that. Hashem says, I understand you struggle, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to do tshuva. But then there's certain averos where you have to say to yourself, why am I still struggling with this? This is something that should be left behind already. It's not kashanim, it's not age appropriate. So again, it's an amazing insight into tshuva. If your averos make sense, again, as much as any avera could ever make sense, then Hashem is more willing, so to speak, kashel galbinu, to whiten those sins. But when a person doesn't grow from one year to the next, if he's not like a tree, and if he's replanting every year, and he's going back, you know, every year is like, he can't move past Shana Aleph, or slipping backwards into the high school version of yourself, then that's a problem. Then you're not growing. And if you're not growing, we have a serious problem. I'll tell you a quick part from the Kedushas Tzion, the Baba Varebi. It's in Parshas Balak. It's a strong vart. The Pasuk says in Parshas Balak, Perachav Dali Pasuk Aleph, from the Heilige Kedusha Sion, the Rebbe of Babov. Vayar Bilam ki tov be'enei Hashem levarich es Yisrael. Bilam saw that it was fitting in the eyes of Hashem to bless the Jewish people. V'lo halach kepa'am bepa'am lekras nechashim. And he did not go as he had previously gone time and time again towards his nechashim, means towards his witchcraft, his sorcery. Vayoshes el amidbar panav. And he turned his face towards the midbar. The Baba Rebbe said there are some people who are stuck in autopilot. Their life is the same thing over and over and over again. They're not moving forward. Because when they said, that story you told, I said, forgot about that story. It was a great story. There was a Rosh Yeshiva of Mishkovsky. It was one time he was standing at a wedding of one of his Talmidim, and he was watching the Bachram dance. And he was standing on the side and he was crying. So they said to him, Rebbe, why are you crying? I mean, you know, the Chassan is a little bit older, you know. So maybe you're very emotional. You're waiting years for him to get married, you know. Why is the Rosh Yeshiva so emotional? And he wasn't a very emotional person. So he says to them, he said, I was watching the dancing and I just realized something. He said, I was watching, everyone was going around and around in a circle. Right? And they're singing and they're dancing, but they keep going around the same circle, and the same circle, and the same circle, and the same circle. And I realized that some people live their lives that way. You can do it with a smile on your face. You think everything's great, but you're not getting anywhere. You're just going around and around and around and around and around and around. And you think life's good, you know, because you're getting a paycheck. And maybe you're going up in terms of your gashmias. You're climbing the corporate ladder. But in terms of your ruchnias, you're just riding the train around and around. You're not getting anywhere. So the Kedusha Seal on the Bava Rebbe, listen to this part. Listen to what he says. He says, a tzaddik is a person who is always trying to move forward. Right? But a person who's not moving forward is essentially, right, moving backwards. Is in trouble. So here's how he reads the pasuk. He says, the pasuk says about Bilam, v'lo halach kepam bepam likras nechashim. Here's how he reads the pasuk. Again, you look up the pasuk, it's chaf dalet aleph in Parshas Balak. V'lo halach, a person who's not a holich, v'lo halach, a person who's not going, he's not getting anywhere. Rather, kipam bipam. Rather, he's doing the same thing over and over again. You know where he's headed? The kras nechashim. He's headed towards the snake. He's headed towards the Yetzer. V'lo halach, one who's not moving ahead. Kipam bipam. Rather, he's just pam bipam, the same thing over and over again. Likras nechashim. He's in the clutches of the Nachash HaKadmonis, in the hands of the Yetzer Hara. A Jew has to be able to build on his success and move forward. So that's what it means, Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh. Adam Eitz HaSadeh means that there are certain things that, again, have to be built upon. There's certain things that should be able to grow naturally from one year to the next, and then I can start adding the next layer. I shouldn't need, he says, to plow and to start finding my kochos from scratch every time. I should be like a tree that produces its fruit automatically. Keseder. I don't have to make a cheshbon every day. Right. Tuesday is a minion day. Wednesday is not a minion day. Thursday is a minion day. Friday is not a minion day. Become a person who goes to minion and do it for the rest of your life. And then build on it. And then add more fruits. Beli charisha mizriya, without a plowing and a planting, a whole cheshbon on nefesh. Every morning I'm deciding, should I, shouldn't I? Right. Have a baseline of growth. Ubavada gama ilan tzrichim la'avod alav benicha shuvi'idar. Of course, says of Gedalia Yeshua, even a tree that grows automatically still requires attention. It requires nichush, v'idor. It requires what? Pruning, trimming. So got to keep an eye on the tree. Make sure that it continues to get stronger and stronger. But again, there's a certain baseline of automatic growth that the tree has. But try to continue to develop it further. Kadesh lo yifsadu perosa, so you don't lose any of the fruit. It still requires attention. Even when a person develops himself to the point that his strengths, his talents are emerging automatically, make sure that you don't what? You become, like I said before, you don't become robotic in the Avodas Hashem. Because then, of course, you're going to start to lose simply by not paying attention to what you're doing. But again, ki adam eitz hasadeh. When we come to Tav Shin Pei, the new year, in just a couple of weeks, it's going to be Rosh Hashanah, unbelievable. To get ourselves ready. Today is the 9th of Elul. Today is Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin's Yartzeit. The 9th of Elul. Yeah, so a Jew has to be able to say, okay, Tav Shin Ayin Tes, I got certain things right. I got certain things wrong. I'm going to try to build on it. But there should be a certain naturalness to some of the things that I do. Okay, Yehuda, what do you want to say? Then I want to end with an insight from Rav Moshe Feinstein.
Since you bought the Nachash, this was still on.
Yeah.
I just saw something yesterday where I was thinking about making a comparison between our Pasuk and like the first Adam who encountered the first eights.
Okay.
I was just wondering if Rabbi had any thoughts on that.
I do. I'm sure you do too. Yeah, Adam eats a sada. Yeah, what do you want to say?
I didn't really have anything. The feet are on the ground and the head's in Shemayim, but other than that, I couldn't really.
Okay. It's a good image. All right, we'll think about it together offline. I want to get everyone to the base soon. Okay, let's end with one insight from Rav Moshe Feinstein, which is very makushra to this inyan. Just take a couple more minutes to explain, and then we'll head to the base. It's in the Darash Moshe and Parsha Shemos. Okay, Rav Moshe Feinstein Sefer is called Darash Moshe. Darash Moshe. And it's the first piece in Parsha Shemos. The Eile Shemos B'nai Yisrael. No, anyone remember Rashi from the beginning of Shemos? Hashem counts us like stars, that's right. Perish Rashi. Rashi explains, Afal pi Shemonon b'chayeyen b'shemosan. Even though we already listed the family of Yaakov in Parshas Vayigash, we count them again at the beginning of Shemos. Ve'ele Shemos b'nei Yisrael, Abba Mitzrayim, Eis Yaakov, Ishu Beis Abba, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. It goes through the family of Yaakov, you know. Why does Hashem, if He already counted us at the end of Chumash Bereishis, why does He count us again at the beginning of Shemos? Rashi says, Manon b'misasan lo'diachi basan shenim shalu l'kochavim. That Hashem counts us just like He counts the stars. As the Pasuk says, that Hashem calls the stars by name when He takes them out and puts them away. Okay. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, L'chore eiza chashivas hu mashanim shalu l'kochavim. Why are Jews compared to stars? So of course we have the image of, you know, Avraham Avinu being told your children will be numerous like the stars, which of course is a big shaila because we're not numerous like the stars. Jews are compared to stars. How are we like the stars? The Baal Shem Tov says in Parshas Lech Lecha, the Jews are like the stars Because just like you look at a star from a distance, it looks like this tiny little glimmer of light. But of course, as you get close to a star, you see it's this massive, you know, this massive ball of gas. Right? It's much bigger than it appears from a distance. So the same thing is true about every Jew. Sometimes when you see a Jew, if you don't know him so well, you think, small Jew. It's not such a big neshama. The more you get to know, the closer you get to the person, right, you start to see that, wow, this guy is mamish glowing. There's a lot inside of this person. When you're far away, it looks small. When you're close, it gets big. Okay, that's the Baal Shem Tov's explanation. It says, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in what way are Jews like stars? This is what Rav Moshe says. V'nira da'akavano. Da'af sh'kodesh baruch hu nason koach ha'bechira la'adam. Like we were just talking about. Even though God gave man the ability to choose. Where does the Rambam talk about the concept of God's omniscience and free will? Where does the Rambam talk? In Hilchos Tshuva. In the fifth chapter of Hilchos Tshuva. Why does the Rambam get into free will, right, and God's, you know, omniscience, God's being all-knowing? Why is that in Hilchos Tshuva? Because a big part of Tshuva is realizing the choices I have made, the choices I could make, things I'm doing right, things I'm doing wrong, and building on it. So says Rav Moshe Feinstein, even though Hashem gave human beings the ability to choose, and choosing means, says Rav Moshe, sheyuchal lasos neged haTorah, that I could throw off my yarmulke right now and walk outside, and in the next half hour probably do, I don't know, rove of the Chai Vekaris. You know? With Amazon Prime, you can get things quicker these days, you know? There's ways to do a lot of Averos really quickly. And I wouldn't get struck down by lightning. Hashem doesn't operate like that. A person has free will to even rebel against God. Mikol makom. However, says Rav Moshe, you know what we're striving for? Exactly what Rav Gedalia Shor was just describing. You should be like a tree that produces automatically. Mikol makom hamadrega hayoser gedola. You know what the highest level is? Kishiyagia laklal havana. When you understand the mitzvah so deeply, shemikavan shu davar iser. To know how usur it is, to know how wrong it is, that I can't even choose it anywhere. It's so foreign to me, I can't do it. I physically can't bring myself to do it. I think I mentioned the other day, Rav Simcha Bunor of Preshischa said that an Avera should be like what? Like someone saying, I'll give you $100, if you put your hand in the fire. Even if you really need $100, you can't do it. Your body will not let you stick your hand into a fire. Even for $1 million, put your hand in this fire for 20 seconds, I'll give you $1 million. Your hand will pull back. Right? Because your body knows so deeply, it's ingrained that it just can't be. An aveira should be like fire, says Simcha Bunor of Preshischa. That I can't touch a fire. My body would revolt against it. Right? So too, I can't touch whatever. Someone who's not permitted to me. My wife when she's not permitted to me. My girlfriend, we're not yet married. A cheeseburger because I can't eat a cheeseburger. It's not, I can't do that. Someone else's money, I can't. I make a head, explain why I'm entitled to it. I can't do it. They once came to the Kutzker and they said, Rebbe, someone stole a knife. I guess from the Kutzker's Tish, you know, he had a big fancy silver knife. Someone stole a knife. So Kutzker said, it can't be. You know what I mean, it can't be? It says in the Torah, lo sigzol. It says you can't steal. Well, of course you can steal. You're not supposed to steal. The customer says, no, but it says you can't. How is it possible for someone to steal? It says you cannot steal. It's not physically possible to steal. So Moshe Feinstein says the goal is to get to a level where averas just don't register. There was a tzaddik, Rav Mordechai of Nishchiz. When people would speak to him things that were unholy, his ears were so pure, it literally, he said, when people would speak to him Lashon Hara or something, a davar iser, It would just sound like static. He couldn't hear. He could not. He physically trained his body. He was not able to hear a davar iser. That's pretty wild. That's a very high level. Rav Gedalia Shor elsewhere, by the way, he quotes from the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota says that Paro, one of the ways he was trying to get the Mialdos to kill the Jewish babies, he was trying to seduce them. Shifra and Pua, Paro was trying to seduce them. Anyone ever learned Gemara Sota? Paro was trying to seduce, sexually, to seduce Shifra and Pua. So if you look at the Lashon of the Gemara says, Tovan l'davar avera, he solicited them for a davar avera. What would you expect the response to be? And they didn't listen. That's not what the Gemara says. Read the Gemara carefully. The Gemara says, Tovan l'dvar aveira, they were solicited for a dvar aveira, v'lo nitba'u, and they were not solicited. They were solicited, they just said no. No. But Gedalia Shor elsewhere quotes from Rav Simcha Buna of Peshischa. When Paru says, right, he tried to seduce them sexually, lo nitba'u, it didn't even register. They didn't even hear the offer. Because it's a davar isra, I can't even think about it. It doesn't register. It's Yosef Atzadik, Vayima Ein. I refuse. Eishes Potifa, there's nothing to talk about here. So says Rav Moshe Feinstein, the goal is to reach a level that when something is usser, it doesn't even register by you. It's not even a bechira, it's not even a choice. So therefore, says Rav Moshe, that's why we find in the Torah, sometimes it says, lo suchal, you're not able. It says, Meiser Sheni, which you're supposed to bring to Yerushalayim, the Pasuk says, you're not able to eat it in your gates, in your hometown. What do you mean I'm not able? Of course I'm able. What's going to happen if I do? Is Hashem going to strike me down with a lightning bolt? Why is the Torah saying you're not able? The Torah says you're not allowed to. But the goal is to reach a level where what? If the Torah says something, lo tuchal, I'm not able to violate. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, does a star struggle with getting up in the evening? I can say in the morning, but I guess stars get up in the evening. I know stars are always there. Yeah, does a star struggle with finding its place in the world? Hashem is misader es hakochavim. Hashem gave every star, like we say in Maariv, its place. Does a star struggle? Maybe I'll shine tonight, maybe I won't shine tonight. Why are Jews compared to the stars? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, a new understanding. Because just like a star cannot choose to do anything other than what it's been charged, been tasked with, it's charged to do, right? Even though it's just a star, I do it, then I do it. If the Torah says don't do it, lo tuchal, not able to do it. L'chein odam hamala mevin v'roa she'enu yachol lavor. To reach a level where I'm like a star, where I'm like the sun that takes its place and follows the same pattern day in and day out. Like I told you that var from the Sfas Emes. Yira Shemayim, from the time the Shemayim was arranged, it's held its place. It doesn't struggle with deciding, should I serve God today or not serve God today? So as we entered into Mitzrayim, Hashem compares us to stars. Hashem says, even in Mitzrayim, you have to continue to live like the family of Yaakov. Okay, so Rabbo said, this is what it means to be like a tree. A tree has certain things that just come naturally to it. There's obviously tipul, there's new things that we're trying to get out of the tree to help it to get even stronger. But there's a certain baseline. And again, as we enter into a new year, right, the goal is to try to reflect on what I did right in Tav Shinayin Tes and what I did wrong, and then to be able to build upon that success in Tav Shin Pei. Okay? All right, we'll stop here for today. We thank our Rebbe, Rebbe Gedalia Shor, for his amazing insights.